2 Samuel 18, verse 33 through 19, and verse 8. These are God's words. Then the king was deeply moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, he said thus, "O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I had died in your place, O Absalom, my son, my son." And Joab was told, "Behold, the king is weeping and mourning for Absalom." So the victory that day was turned into mourning for all the people. For the people heard it said that day, "The king is grieved for his son." And the people stole back into the city that day, as people who are ashamed steal away when they flee in battle. But the king covered his face, and the king cried out with a loud voice, "O my son Absalom, O Absalom, my son, my son." Then Joab came into the house to the king and said, "Today you have disgraced all your servants who today have saved your life, the lives of your sons and daughters, the lives of your wives, and the lives of your concubines, in that you love your enemies and hate your friends. For you have declared today that you regard neither princes nor servants, for today I perceive that if Absalom had lived and all of us had died today, then it would have pleased you well. Now therefore arise, go out, and speak comfort to your servants. For I swear by Yahweh, if you do not go out, no one will stay with you this night, and that will be worse for you than all the evil that has befallen you from your youth until now." Then the king arose and sat in the gate, and they told all the people, saying, "There is the king sitting in the gate." So all the people came before the king, for everyone of Israel had fled to his tent. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. First thing that I think we need to notice is how great and real the grief of David was here. We're going to see some dangers that face us when we have grief. We're going to see, hopefully, a right way of responding to and thinking about God in dealing with our grief. But in order for you to be able to bring this home to your heart, you need to see that this is probably among the most intense grief or pain that you can ever have. Why? Because whatever you're dealing with in your life, you need to not give yourself the excuse when you come to a passage like this of saying, "Yeah, but it really wasn't that big a deal. Yeah, David shouldn't have been such a crybaby. My pain, however, is a huge deal." No, his pain was as big a deal as it could get. Because Absalom, his son. Okay, so seven times in the passage you hear David cry out, "My son." This was a son who had raised himself up against the Lord's anointed, had raised himself up against the Lord's people, and who had died in his sin. David is the sweet psalmist of Israel. David is the one who cares so much about what the Lord sees in his own heart. David understands the importance of the spiritual condition of an eternal soul. And as far as he knows, his son has just perished in his sins. I would endure, God helping me, anything rather than have one of you go through the motions and fake it in our family and learn how to talk like a Christian, but to secretly live for yourself and for your pleasure and for your own praise and not really treasure the Lord Jesus as your Savior from your sins, your God who died for you. I would give anything rather than have you turn out at last to be a false professor of faith, that you would not be on the inside that new person whom God has given life to trust in Jesus. The worst thing I can think of, the worst thing I can think of in this life would be to, for all appearances, think that one of you had perished in your sin. So what David is going through here is the is unimaginably painful. And yet, Absalom had set himself up as the enemy of God and the enemy of the Lord's anointed. The one who had to be shattered with that iron scepter with which Jesus will shatter all those who raise themselves up against him, according to Psalm 2. And we learn from chapter 17 and verse 14 that God had purposed to destroy Absalom. We have to be able to be like Job in the most intense of grief, admit that the Lord is within his rights, and humble ourselves under his hand. Job had a similar problem. Yes, his children appeared to be godly, but remember, he would offer that sacrifice because he thought that maybe his children in their hearts were not as they appeared on the surface. And now all of his children had been killed in one fell swoop, and he doesn't have secret insight to know why. And certainly it must have occurred to him, even as his wife is saying, curse God and die, it must have occurred to him that perhaps his children were not saved, were not converted. And yet, God blessed that man to have the grace to humble himself under the Lord's mighty hand. David needed to have the Lord as first. And we can see in part that he doesn't because of what Joab had to confront him with. And so we move from seeing the intensity of David's pain to that which enables us to deal rightly and healthily with our pain. So the people are sneaking back into the city. David has sinned against them all. They have said, 10,000 of us aren't worth one of you. We're willing to spend 10,000 of our lives in order to save just yours, our king. And he has come back and said, I'd rather spend all of your lives and my life together in order to gain Absalom's. A horrible thing for him to communicate to them. Joab confronts him with that. This is one of the great dangers of not dealing with our pain well, is that if we are absorbed with our own pain, then we do not notice the pain of others, and even if we are the ones causing that pain, which David was the one who was hurting all his people. Joab confronts him with that. He says, today you have disgraced all your servants who today have saved your life, the lives of your sons and daughters, the lives of your wives, and the lives of your concubines. So he stresses to David all that David has, all that the Lord has spared to David. As we were saying in the question time, you may lose everything in this life, like the apostles lost, Jesus warning them about it in Luke 21, and that those who are nearest to them would betray them and turn them over, and everyone would hate them, and they would become prisoners, and yet it would be for them the most precious thing, an opportunity to give testimony for the Lord Jesus. They would have him, they would have his testimony, they would have the opportunity to serve him. Jesus had warned the Judean Christians that they might lose everything, and they should be willing to lose everything that they might have him. Then he tells us, take heed to your hearts. Don't waste your life either living for fun or living for sin or being anxious. Instead, be willing to lose everything because you have Christ. He is your Redeemer and he is your Redemptor. When he appears in the sky, your redemption will have arrived. The arrival of his kingdom is more than anything to you. You want to be able to stand in the day of the Son of Man. And so right now in your life, you need to be counting Christ more than everything to you, even more than mom and dad. so that if you lose everything else, you will bless the Lord Jesus for how you have had him and the mom and dad he gave you and the time that you had with them and the fact that the best thing he gave you in our house was to know him and to have him. Because you'll still have him. No one can take him away from you. None of these things, says the apostle, can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And you may have the opportunity to testify him for him, or to suffer well with him, or to encourage new Christians that he brings you into contact with, or to be used to convert others who become your new family in the Lord. Jesus is the only one, the only thing you can ever, lose. But the one who clings to God as his everything focuses, even though he may lose much, and David has lost much, and yet he ought to focus on what he still has from the Lord, and especially the Lord himself. Joab is sent, goes to David and reminds him that the Lord has spared his life, and the lives of his sons and daughters, the lives of his wives, the lives of his concubines. And it is a great blessing to David that the Lord has spared to him Joab. Now, Joab has been a pain at times, and what Joab does isn't always helpful. And yet, in times like when David wants to take the sinful census, and this time and others, Joab is a blessing to David because he's honest with him. The Lord may send you a friend who is honest with you, who points out to you that you are not focused on what you should be. That's a gift. That's a blessing from the Lord. And you may have someday to have to exercise the wisdom and have grace to understand when there's no one else whose job it is and who has the insight and the courage to speak to someone. You may need to confront them, especially if you are one day a husband or a wife. You may be in the position where you're the only one in the world who can say that thing to your spouse. Or if you one day are in the position of a parent, and it is your assigned job from God to tell his truth to your child, even though you don't know how it will be received. And you're praying that they will be soft-hearted like David was here, to receive the rebuke from Joab. Or if you're an elder and it's your job with the person in the church and you can't just sit around and hope that they will get it, but you have to go and tell them. And you're looking for wisdom and grace to tell it in the right way. Someone who will tell the truth is a gift from the Lord. The ability to receive that truth is a gift from the Lord, gift by which we pray that we would have our hearts turned back to you, counting God as our only ultimate good, and receiving every other good as from his hand, and receiving even our pain as from his hand, and crying out to him in it as he will deliver us out of it. Okay, so Joab continues, and that you love your enemies and hate your friends, for you have declared today that you regard neither princes nor servants. For today I perceive that if Absalom had lived and all of us had died today, it would have pleased you well. Now therefore arise, go out and speak comfort to your servants. Okay, so he says, remember, you're still a king, and you need to realize what God has done for you so you can do your job as king. And right now your job is to thank and encourage all these people who risked their lives for you today. There's no danger from Israel. Everyone of Israel had fled to his tent. The king's servants are safe from Israel, but they need be led by the king in being encouraged. And Joab even threatens that if the king will not do this, then he'll do it himself to the king's detriment, to the king's harm. So he says, for I swear by Yahweh, if you do not go out, no one will stay with you this night, and that will be worse for you than all the evil that has befallen you from your youth until now. Then the king arose and sat in the gate. And they told all the people, saying, "There is the king sitting in the gate." So all the people came before the king. So mercy from God that he gives David the soft-heartedness, the tender-heartedness to receive this correction from Joab. Mercy not just for the nation, but for David. May the Lord help us, even with our most intense, real pain, be able to come to the Lord and receive comfort and be able to see all that the good that the Lord has given us. Most of all, that the one thing that we can never lose is the Lord himself, is the Lord Jesus himself, the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate us from that love. Not any trial, not any attack, not any loss in this life. There will be no loss in the next for those who belong to him in Christ. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for giving us yourself. We pray that when in your wisdom we have great and intense loss or grief, that you would make our cry to come before you, that your word would remind us that we have you, that your word would call us back to yourself, that your spirit would remind us of your word and call us back to yourself, that we would be able to see the pain of others and to love them, and that you would keep us from sin. We pray, Lord, that you would send to us friends and counselors like Joab, who will be honest with us and serious with us. Pray that when we are in that position, you would help us to be honest and serious with others. We pray for soft-heartedness towards you and your word, that we would be correctable. We pray that you would be glorified by doing us this good. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.